As we gather together on any given Sunday, we come together with different stories of our lives. These are stories of abundance and stories of scarcity. As we look at this text today and pay attention to the virtues of hospitality and generosity, I want to think about abundance and scarcity. Now, I'm a big fan of Thanksgiving dinner. And one of my favorite things happens almost every Thanksgiving dinner. I get to hear my most favorite sentence in the world. You see, at Thanksgiving dinner, when the dishes are passed around the table and you're holding one of them in front of you and you're about to take some, and you know this is it's probably wrapped in bacon. It's something that you really like. So you're about to take some, and then you do that mental math where you see how many people have gone before you, how many are yet to come. If I take some, I need to leave roughly that amount for each person afterwards. I wouldn't want to take too much where someone else would go without. So as you're kind of doing that mental math, the host recognizes what you're doing. And they say those remarkable words, "There's another dish. Take as much as you'd like." This, for me, is the sense of abundance. We all know it. We all love it. But is this the world in which we live? Is this the world in which we live? Or do we live in a world in which the feelings of abundance are actually the exception? Is our world more like a place of scarcity? I want to pay attention to abundance and scarcity as we look at this text. We're in a sermon series. This is the final Sunday on the sermon series, looking at John 15. And what we're doing through John 15 is taking our mission and vision for the church, embody Christ's love, so that all things may be renewed by the message and mercy of Jesus. Embody Christ's love, and we want to use the virtue pairs that we talk about every Sunday. We take one pair each Sunday. And these virtue pairs are the ways in which we try to understand how is Jesus inviting us to abide in his love, and how is he instructing us to embody his love in the world. Today we're looking at hospitality and generosity. When I think of hospitality, according to the Bible and the scriptures and what we want to use as we read this text, I'm not thinking hospitality as entertaining people in your home, although that's part of it. Think of hospitality as that word welcome. Hospitality is a way of saying you are welcome. And then generosity is a way of saying, I want to share what I have with you. So hospitality and generosity, seen in John chapter 15. As we prepare our hearts and minds to hear from this text today, would you please pray with me? Oh, Father God, as we come before you to hear from your word, I pray that you would be with us in mind, body, and spirit, and that through your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you illumine our minds, rekindle our hearts, and strengthen our wills. In your name we pray, amen. In our time, I feel like we have a significant amount of experience of scarcity. Do you have enough moments in the day to do all the things that you need to do? Or do you find a scarcity of time? Do you find a scarcity of money or a scarcity of stuff? I think scarcity and the feelings around scarcity actually drive human action quite a bit. If I do this, if I go to this university, it means I can't go to the other university. I can only choose one. There is a scarcity. If I allow this thing to happen, it's going to cost me in this way. We recognize that scarcity determines what we can and cannot do. Operating under scarcity seems to produce results in our world. If you scrimp and save, it can make you more financially secure than if you were to spend your money on junk. One of the ways that you can see this happen is through the industry of insurance in our world. Insurance is all about scarcity. It's the worry that something bad is going to happen to your property, so you get insurance. And the insurance company, well, the insurance broker is there to help you, but the insurance underwriter is all about maximizing profits and minimizing returns, minimizing the payouts. The insurance industry is funded founded on scarcity. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not against insurance, and don't think you should all stop insurance. But it's based on this idea that we live in a world of scarcity. And we see this in the way we treat land and resources as well, the way our businesses operate. There's only so many cell phone customers to go around. There's a scarcity of them. But scarcity leaves a broken wake behind it. It creates inequality and oppression. In fact, it demands that there is inequality. And ultimately, scarcity hurts. It feels like the truth. It feels like the reality we live in. Scarcity causes fear of scarcity. It literally drives the curse that creates scarcity, feeding on itself. It's in this context, paying attention to the world in which we live in, that I invite you to hear from John 15, where Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." When he speaks to us as being branches of the vine, he invites us to bear fruit. And he doesn't want you to just bear a little bit of fruit. He wants you to bear much fruit. And if you're only bearing a little bit of fruit, he's going to work with you. He's going to prune and cleanse you by his word so that you would bear even more fruit. He wants you to be a bearer of abundance of fruit, not just a little bit. And Jesus embodies what it means to love people through hospitality, through welcome, and through generosity. In order to show hospitality, who does Jesus pick to abide with him? Is he very selective, or does he have a wide open welcome? Jesus is hospitable and generous. In the Gospel of Luke, we see a significant number of times where Jesus is involved in what we would consider hospitality. He goes out for meals with people. And at one point, he's telling people these stories about what the kingdom of God is like. And he says to them, "Don't worry about tomorrow. You are really stressed out, wondering if you have enough for tomorrow, but don't worry about tomorrow. Instead, what I want you to do is think about the lilies of the field. They are clothed beautifully by God. And think about the birds of the air. They have food. They don't have to stress about it. God will provide food for them. How much more valuable are you to God than the lilies or the birds?" So God cares about the lilies and the birds. He also will care about you. "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all this will be given to you also." So this is Jesus' understanding of how we should trust God in this world. And one of his disciples, Peter, wrote a letter that we see later in the Bible. And Peter kind of captured this when he says, "Cast your cares upon him who cares for you." If you indeed deeply trust God, then your stress over how you're going to make things work from day to day rests on him. And Peter deeply understood what it meant to cast your cares on Jesus, because Peter, of course, has the experience that will probably have forever stayed with him of casting his nets. And Jesus was like, "Hey, it seems like you're not catching anything." And so Peter then casts his net. Sure enough, nothing. Jesus says, "Try the other side." Peter tries the other side and brings in way more fish than he and his men on his boat could handle, and they had to call another boat in to help them bring the haul of fish in. God is all about abundance and provision for us. And again, thinking of fish, Jesus had 5,000 people that he met with, and he was teaching them. And they had come to him on a mountainside in Judea, just above Galilee, and he was speaking to them and teaching them, and the disciples were saying, "We don't have any food for them, and it's getting late, and they're hungry." And Jesus says, "What do we have?" "Well, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. He says, "This is enough." And he takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish, blesses it, and then begins to distribute it. And sure enough, there's more than enough. In fact, there's leftovers. The leftovers of God's abundance are greater than the scarcity of our world. This echoes the stories in the Old Testament. We see Elijah and the widow and the oil that she has that doesn't run out. And Jesus sees this widow being hospitable to Elijah, and he references this and speaks about it when he says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap." We know these stories of Jesus, of his hospitality and his generosity. What's important is that we figure out ways in which we feel it. So we can read the text and know that Jesus is hospitable and generous, but we need to find out what it means to know it, to feel it, and experience it. And we do this in community. We do this by speaking to one another, by sharing with one another, and caring for one another, whatever we're going through. As Jesus did this in the way that he walked on earth, people asked of him, "Why are you eating and drinking with sinners and tax collectors? You seem to be hanging out with the wrong people." As we experience and know hospitality in this world, the idea of welcome presses up against us. And we wonder, you know, I see Jesus hanging out with the wrong sort of people. When we think of the wrong sort of people in our day and age, it starts to make us a little bit uncomfortable. I see Jesus go that far with his welcome and his generosity. I'm not sure I can. So let me encourage you that it doesn't have to be all at once. We are called to embody Christ's love through hospitality and generosity, but we can learn to do this through baby steps, through small openings. Yes, it does make us uncomfortable, and that's part of the point. As we welcome people who are not us, not one of our team, into our spaces, it does make us uncomfortable. And I think it's even more prevalent in our time because we don't practice hospitality the way they did in Jesus' time, and we're missing out on some things there. We live in a time where our spaces are much more private. Your home is much more private. If you were to invite somebody home to your home, often your neighbors do not know who you've invited over. This makes you more vulnerable. And it means that people tend to not invite others into their homes as much as they would have. If the community all knew, then you are actually more safe. But we're a little bit more private in our hospitality. Similarly, we tend to be much more focused on hospitality to people of our same social standing, our same class, even our same ethnicity. We tend to narrow our hospitality. These elements of hospitality being narrowed or broken is why it seems that there is so much more division in our time, I think. We're just simply not hospitable to one another. When Jesus invites us to be hospitable to one another, he's inviting us into what I have already referred to as welcome, this idea of radical welcome, expressing to somebody else that you are welcome in this space. And I wonder if this makes you uncomfortable because you're a little bit worried that welcome means affirmation. Can I welcome somebody into my house who does not vote for the prime minister or premier that I vote for? Right? If we don't agree on sexuality, can we still share a meal together? If we don't agree on abortion, or if you're a greedy business person in some shady practices, can I still welcome you? Or does my welcome say that I am okay with the things that you do and the way that you act? Should we be careful with our welcome and our generosity and only give it to people that we approve of? Be careful. It doesn't seem that Jesus ever really said, be careful. I think of one time where he kind of talked about being careful with his hospitality, but he said, be careful about primping your righteousness in front of others. Be careful about doing hospitality and generosity so that others can see what you're doing, so that you get a pat on the back. Be careful about making a show of your hospitality and generosity. That's what he said. Be careful about making a show of it. He never said, be careful about who you welcome. Be careful about who you are generous to. What Jesus tried to express in the way that he lived was that he loves the person that you see in front of you. He loves them, and he wants you to be generous to them because he wants to be generous to them through you. Hospitality, welcome, and generosity isn't about making ourselves feel good. It's not about maintaining our own status through hospitality and generosity. Far too often when we express hospitality and generosity, it seems like there's a wall between the host and the guest. It actually reinforces inequality. Through Jesus, we see that the host actually needs to become vulnerable and needy, and the guest brings the gifts. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the road to Emmaus, where Jesus walks along the road after he has been crucified and resurrected, but the disciples don't know yet that he's resurrected. And he's walking along the road and he comes along two disciples and he's walking with them. And he speaks to them about all the stories in Scripture that point to Jesus. And as they come to Emmaus, to their home, the two men say, Jesus, well, they don't say Jesus. They say, would you please come in and eat with us? We'd like to carry on the conversation, but more so, it's dark. It's nighttime, and you need to come into our home to be safe, to have a place to stay the night. And Jesus says, no, 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 I have to go on. And they say, no, 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 please, please, you have to come in. And Jesus says, no, no, that's fine. I don't need the hospitality. I'm good. I'm going to head on. And they have to press on him again. Now, as North American Westerners, we're a little bit like perplexed with, what are you doing here, Jesus? What game are you playing? But Jesus is playing the game of hospitality. And it's a deep game. What Jesus is doing here is he's saying, I'm not going to impose upon your hospitality disrespectfully. If they were to invite him in and say, good sir, stranger, would you please come in and eat with us? And he says, great, yep, I'll come in. It's almost like, I don't really care about you. I'm just going to take advantage of your hospitality and then I'll be on my way the next time I'm free to go. But he doesn't respect them when he just simply accepts it. He needs to actually say, and this is Middle Eastern hospitality, he has to decline it. He has to say, no thanks, I'm going to head on. So that they can press upon him, because they need to prove that they weren't doing it just to be polite, but that they're actually hospitable. So then he gives them that opportunity to prove, no, no, we really do love you and want to be hospitable and welcoming to you. So he has to say no. Respecting the hospitality of different cultures is something very important in our world because our cultures are mixing in ways that they haven't in history. And so we have to pay attention to the different ways that cultures act. What Jesus was doing when he did that was paying attention to the way that they need to be able to participate in hospitality, and he was respecting them. So he went along with them to the house as the guest. In authentic hospitality, where you meet Jesus, it's not about how much you have to give to the other person in order to reinforce that you have and that they do not. Hospitality that authentically connects you to Jesus Christ reflects the story of the road to Emmaus, whereby the one who is the guest who comes along into the home brings some sort of gift that reveals the very presence of Christ. And the host, at some point somehow, reveals the fact that they are vulnerable and needy. As the host's vulnerable need meets the guest's gift, we realize the presence of Christ is here in this space. Hospitality and welcome with respect enables us to have the space where generosity can authentically bring us into the presence of Christ. And I think this begins with our words. In our day and age, we have so much the struggle to be politically correct. But that struggle is actually just the start of you expressing, I welcome you into this space. And I want it to be a space where you feel that you are welcome to be yourself. Our words are the very first place in which we are hospitable. And this often brings with it tension, tensions on the limits of hospitality. And I encourage you to pay attention to this conflict. As you struggle with what it means to be hospitable, how it gets interpreted, know that you are stretching the boundaries of your own hospitality and that this is how you embody Christ's love, being hospitable even in the places of tension or conflict. As we long to follow Jesus, as we long to know his presence and abide in his love as John 15 invites us to, we want to embody his love through hospitality and generosity. And we do this in word and deed. And particularly as Jesus does, we do this to those who are most vulnerable, who are most hurting in our community. Embodying Christ's love through hospitality and generosity. It is to this that you have been called. But this is not easy. It is not easy to feel hospitable and generous in an age of scarcity. My encouragement for you is to pay attention to this text, John 15, and to the life of Jesus, to his hospitality towards you and his generosity towards you. Learn to look through your life and see where he has expressed it to you. And if you're part of a small group, I encourage you to talk about this in your small groups over the coming weeks. What does it mean to be hospitable and generous in a world of scarcity? How do we as Christians embody his love through hospitality and generosity? This is to what we have been called. And as I've asked each Sunday over this series, so what? To what end? Why does Jesus invite us to be hospitable and generous What's the point? Well, the reason that we embody Christ's love is so that all may be renewed by the mission and message of Jesus. So how does embodying love through hospitality and generosity do this? How does it help us to participate in the ways of renewing? And I see three ways that hospitality and generosity invite us into the renewal of all things. Well, first, when we participate in hospitality and generosity, it resists and exposes scarcity. One of my favorite authors talks about when you're reading a text and trying to speak of it in sermons, or when you're just reading a text and want to speak of it in your small groups, or when you're reading a text and praying over it yourself, you can ask yourself, is there a dark power that this text is speaking about or to? And so I ask myself, well, this text, when I'm thinking about hospitality, is revealing this dark power of scarcity in our world. And then the second question you ask is, how are we called to unmask it? How do we unmask scarcity and reveal it for everyone to see? This is actually evil. It's not part of the way the world is meant to be. And I think if we participate in hospitality and generosity, it will unmask scarcity. Because hospitality operates outside of that scarcity mentality. Instead of saying, I have to protect and I have to have boundaries, and I'm a little bit worried about you, you're a little bit sketchy, hospitality says, you are welcome here. You're not a threat to my safety, my security, or my enjoyment of life. And generosity says that I'm not bound by scarcity. I'm not bound by the finite resources I have. I live with the God of abundance, who is my Father. And He has given me enough to share, and you are worth more to me than my ability to pile up in my garage stuff and extra things. So first, hospitality and generosity resists and exposes scarcity as false and broken. And the second thing hospitality and generosity does is it promotes human flourishing. In the way that Jesus invites us into relationship with Him in John 15, hospitality gives us the best ways of human flourishing. It invites us into spaces where we recognize that no longer is it about me trying to make things work for myself and my own, but that we're in this together. We're hospitable and generous to one another, and human life flourishes in the best ways possible as we are hospitable to one another. And then third, hospitality and generosity develops relationships with God, others, and creation. Where relationships are broken, hospitality and generosity rebuilds it. Where relationships are not present, hospitality and generosity enables these to begin on good ground. And if relationships are present and healthy, hospitality and generosity strengthen these relationships in loving ways. Because all along the way, hospitality and generosity are about saying, I trust in God Almighty, and I am comfortable to be with you because I trust Him. As we participate in His generosity, we develop a closer bond with Him, and we're able to develop that with others as well. Developing positive relationships with each other and with creation. Hospitality and generosity are the foundational way that we cross divisions and develop relationships with one another. After the service today, we're going to take a few moments to talk about what's happening in our ministries. And one of the things that we've been focusing on for the last few months is hospitality. And I hope that you're able to stay afterwards. As I speak and think about hospitality and generosity, as Jesus invites us to abide in Him, the logical next thing to do is actually to have a meal together, to participate in the Lord's Supper. We're not doing that today, but we are having a potluck after supper. And if you didn't bring anything, you're welcome. You're welcome to be here. If you did bring something, you're welcome. You're welcome to be here. I encourage you, if you're able, to stay after the service as we talk about the ministries that are happening in our church, focusing on welcome, belonging, and abiding in Jesus Christ. And as we eat together, saying to one another, I welcome you in this space, and I want to learn what it means to live in the abundance of Jesus Christ, even in this world of scarcity. My brothers and my sisters, I encourage you to read over this text again. Speak with one another about what it means to live knowing that God is abundantly loving towards you, and about what it means to embody His love in our places of work, play, and family. Come, Lord Jesus.